Welcome to Mom Talk with Maria Bailey. For the next hour, join Maria as she takes on topics important to you. Finances, raising children, and dealing with your husband through his tough times and yours. This is the place to be as Maria and her guests bring you a wealth of information on all of these topics. Now, Maria Bailey on Mom Talk Radio.
It's Mom Talk Radio time again, and I'm Maria Bailey. Thanks for joining me. Okay, did you eat every single piece of candy possible so that you don't have to eat it or you don't want it for the rest of the year? Well, if you're like me, you ate a half a bag of candy corn or perhaps my producer's favorite, the Reese cups, which begs to answer the question, how do you eat a Reese cup? How do you eat a candy corn? Like, I eat a candy corn one section at a time. But are you one of those that just puts it in your mouth and chew it? Or do you like pull back the chocolate and then eat the peanut butter separate on the Reese cup? I'm wondering. Tweet me at Mom Talk Radio and let me know how you eat a Reese cup. So there's a lot going on at this time of year. As we know, we're now in full holiday swing. Lots of things to celebrate. And during this time of year, a lot of our kids are volunteering. And you want, if you have one of those students who volunteers a lot, you might want to have them earn a little reward for that. And it's called the Service, the Spirit of Community Awards. It's the largest youth volunteer program. You can earn up to $5,000 if you're a student 5 to 10. You go to www.spirit.prudential.com. And there you can enter to win one of these scholarships if you're a child or you have a child who has volunteered a lot in the community, America's Top Youth Volunteers. And you have to have your application completed this week. November 5th is the deadline. So check it out. And perhaps all that volunteerism that your child has been doing could help pay for some college. You know, speaking of things that help pay, we want to recognize our sponsor, Premama Prenatal Vitamin Drink Mix. They are the sponsor of Mom Talk Radio. It's a flavorless daily prenatal vitamin that eliminates the need to swallow one of those big old horse pills. Just like the popular on-the-drink mixes, Premama can be mixed into any of your favorite drinks. You can use the promotional code MOMTALK1 for a special 15% discount when you go to drinkpremama.com. I got to tell you, I took down a couple of those horse pills, and when you're pregnant and you're nauseous, you're gagging on those things. So drinkpremama.com is a wonderful solution. Gives you the vitamins that you need, even without the big old horse pill. We have a fantastic show today. We're going to be talking with Bobby McGee, who's from South Africa. He's a six-time Olympic running coach. Yay! You know how I love running. And we're going to spotlight a mom who has three children and considers herself a make-it-happen diva. What is that all about? We're going to find out when we return.
Even supermoms need a little advice. Here's yours. More of Mom Talk Radio.
So I'm very excited about our next guest because there's two things about him that I already know I love. And that is he shares my love for running and he's from my favorite country in the world, South Africa. And if I could run in South Africa, except for whenever I was in South Africa, I was always like, fenced in because I was on a safari and you really can't go running out in the wilderness there. But anyways, I'm delighted to have with us today Bobby McGee. He's a six-time Olympic running coach from South Africa with 31 years of coaching experience. He's coached many famous female athletes, and including Zola Budd. And he is also coaching now elite female athletes as part of his work as high performance training advisor for USA Triathlon. And I'm so delighted to have Bobby with us today. So welcome, Bobby, to Mom Talk Radio.
Oh, thanks very much for having me, Maria. There actually is a half marathon in the Kruger National Game Park where they have to be really careful that they have quite a big showing. I think they get about 500 runners. So if you really want to run in the game park, there are some opportunities here.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I haven't ever been to Kruger. I've only been to Polonisburg and in that area. So maybe I'll have to do that because I absolutely love South Africa. And I actually love running. I just finished 2 weeks ago my 25th marathon, and I wish I was fast. So can your training help us improve our speed?
Absolutely. Firstly, congratulations. That's what I call being an experienced runner. You know, I think the concept of slow and fast is so often misunderstood because there's a big difference between running slowly and running easily, and then we all have our physiological and biomechanical capacities to do so. But mm-hmm. I think we forget that into our 40s, we can still very much develop endurance. But by the time we around about 25 years old, we start losing muscle from that point onwards. And speed comes from being strong. And I think a lot of runners who get all those wonderful benefits who go out and do those easy runs are neglecting the strength work because they don't get the same kind of endorphin rush from doing the power stuff, the hill repeats and stuff like that. But that's where the speed comes from. So normally if somebody has good endurance, what they're looking for is to adding a little strength component and their running time should drop.
So I ran my second best time ever 3 weeks ago, and my PR was, I guess, in my 30s. So, yeah, probably in my 30s. So somewhere in there I can maintain the same speed as I did in my 30s, but I was also kind of mad at somebody, so I was running quickly. But so can we improve our speed, like by building muscle? Can we still, even in our 40s and 50s, can you build muscle at that age? And B, can you improve your speed by building your muscle?
Yeah, I think we need to move away from the concept of building muscle as opposed to getting strong. Whatever our type is, if we tend to be people that can get very easily strong, we will build muscle. But most people who run, when they do specific strength training to help their running, they don't put on bulk. They just get stronger, and that's what we look for with the beginner athletes all the way up to the elite. But absolutely, the question you need to consider, say, as a 45-year-old, is not so much can I still improve my strength. That's making an assumption that your strength at that point in time is optimal. No, if your strength is optimal, you can't improve. But very, very few individuals who haven't had a lifetime of strength training are optimal. So there's a lot of room under that zero line to improve. And most of us as runners are actually on the weak side, and we could do a whole lot, and we can improve our strength considerably. And then the net result of that would be an improvement in our running speed.
So I want to get to some of the greatest problems that runners face, but I also have another question, though. Can you become a better runner by cross-training? Like, for instance, biking every other day instead of running every day. Does other exercises help you become a better runner, or is that just my imagination?
No, that's a very, very good question. Most individuals cannot run enough without breaking down to optimize their running capability. And cross-training becomes extremely important for that because you can continue training your aerobic system. You can gain some specific strength from doing things like cycling and swimming. And so they absolutely help in the vast majority of cases, even in the case of the elite. You probably find that you're going to do better with cross-training than if you only run. And the only other thing about that is so important is that you know, when you are recovering, you can recover sufficiently to ride a bike or to swim or do some weight training or something like that, but you're not sufficiently recovered to run again. And any time a runner breaks down, then the whole process of getting faster slows down. So you're better off running 15, 20 miles a week with some other supplementary work in there, whether that's cycling or whether that's hiking or walking or lifting weights, and not breaking down for a 6 to 8 week period of time, you will ultimately have a much better performance than if you exclusively run, you're pushing the envelope and you break down every 2 or 3 weeks with either an illness or an injury.
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of moms think about running and getting started running to lose weight. But I recently discovered that sometimes your heart rate can reach a point when you're running where you're not even burning fat anymore. You're just putting yourself in that constant stress level. So if a mom wants to run for weight loss, what's your advice to her?
It's also a wonderful question. And if we had the whole answer to that, we'd all be very wealthy people, right?
Yeah. We just have another minute, and I want you to be able to get this in. Could you quickly tell us what services that you would offer a regular mom? Well, not like myself, because I'm not regular when it comes to running, but a mom who wants to get into running and maybe help transform her body. What do you offer at runtransformation.com?
So the first thing to look at is, you know, a little gift where people can go look at what else there is that massively helps your running. And they can just go to freeruntrainingvideos.com. And there they'll get a whole bunch of interesting little videos, fun stuff to do. And then also, in terms of the conversation that we had with Strength, we're giving $50 off to my Run Transformation course, which is 10 hours of videos and practical guidelines on everything from starting out, stretching, drills, etc. And that can be acquired at bobbymcgee.com/momtalkradio. And that's just, you know, just for the listeners that listen in, they'll be able to access that course as well, the Run Transformation course.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. And we're going to put that on our website. We're going to tweet it out as well to our followers. And I appreciate you giving us some of your time today. And I've already got my 5 miles under my belt, but now you've motivated me to go back out today. So thanks so much for joining us. And when we return, we're going to spotlight Devin Thomas. She is the Make It Happen Diva. Spotlight is on Devon Thomas. She is an upcoming author, got a new book coming out. She's also the mother of three. You can find her on her blog at makeithappendiva.com or follow her on Twitter at workitdiva. Welcome, Devon, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you for having me.
So tell me about your book.
So I'm writing a book. It's called The Single Mother's Guide to Being a Diva. I have the mindset that a lot of times we're an unrecognized breed of people, an unrecognized population. We go through a lot of trials and tribulations that aren't addressed both in media and in our day-to-day lives. And when we are viewed, we're viewed negatively, you know, things like, you know, you don't want to take care of somebody else's children for dating, or hiring a single mother is a problem because they never have anyone to watch their kids. All of those types of things are the stigmatism that are attached to us. And really, there's a lot of us who are quite healthy and quite reliable and quite resilient. And we kind of have this stigma, the whole stripper will strip for dollars, you know, as though we don't do anything more than that.
Well, that's kind of interesting, because I always think that, like, a single mom probably has more on her plate than anybody else and probably is more reliable. So the audience for the book, is it other single moms, or who's the audience?
Well, the audience is other single moms. It's women in general, because there's a lot of things that are in the book that people can identify with regardless of whether they're a single mom or not. My contention is that if someone can get mentally healthy, then they have a better chance of raising their children to be mentally healthy, and then their children will in turn have different standards and want different things and maybe stop the cycle of single parenting.
Huh. That's very interesting. And so where's the book going to be available?
I'm going to self-publish it. It'll be available on my website, makeithappendiva.com. And I'm hoping to have it Barnes & Noble, Kindle, all of those different avenues. What I'm hoping for, because I'm just in the middle of finishing it, I should be done in about 2 weeks and sending it out for its first proofread. What I'm hoping to happen is that I can do a book tour based on who it is that's visiting my website. So all of the analytics that come with the website, I'm going to actually base my tour on that. So where people are clicking and commenting, that's where I want to be. I want to be where people are interested.
Wow, that's kind of a smart way to go about it. So what do your kids think about you writing a book?
My kids are excited. They like to help me.
Well, I mean, it's just such a good example to show our children, and your kids are at the right age, 10, 12, and 13, to really understand that you're following a dream.
Yes. My only daughter is actually writing a book on bullying. So she's been typing and writing, and she wants her brother, my oldest child, to illustrate the book because he likes to draw. And then she's talking about her social media platform, which I think is hilarious because she's 12. But she's like, Mom, you know, when you're done with your book, I need you to help me build my social media platform so that I can take out my book. So I thought it's pretty cool that they see what I'm doing and they want to emulate, and they're watching my work and they're wanting to, you know, to do something more because they see what I'm doing. And that's pretty much what the book is about. We set example for our children. So if we're always depressed, our children will be depressed. If we don't strive for anything, our children won't strive for anything. If we are displaying immature behaviors, our children will be immature. So that's kind of what I'm getting at in the book.
Before we let you go, tell everyone where we can find you and where we can find the book.
Well, like I said, the book is going to be available at makeithappendiva.com, and make sure that you check in with me for updates. I'm starting a YouTube channel in the next couple weeks, so check out the website for all the updates. I have a Facebook page, The Single Mother's Guide to Being a Diva. Try to post some inspiration on there every day, if I possibly can. To find out what me and my family are doing and just find out what my thoughts are for the day, you can follow me on Instagram, work_it_diva. And like I said, the updates for the book are going to be right on the blog page, and you should be able to get some aspirations and some inspiration from that.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We have a link to makeithappendiva.com where you'll find everything about being a diva, particularly if you're a single mom. You know, when we return, we've got Gary Keough with us. He is a renowned formulator and a expert advisor in health and wellness. It's all about health and wellness, ladies, because after all, we know you ate a lot of Halloween candy and we're rolling into Thanksgiving. So I got you running at the beginning of the show, and now we're going to talk about health and wellness when we return.
Mothers of America, this hour belongs to you. It's Mom Talk Radio with Maria Bailey.
I'm delighted to welcome to Mom Talk Radio Gary Keough. He is a renowned 35-year formulator and expert advisor in the health and wellness field. He is the inventor of Zicam, something that we probably live on, most of us, along with countless other breakthrough commercial products and patent applications. He has held positions at the Wrigley Company and Nabisco, and he's here today to talk a little bit about something that may surprise you, the hormones of men. So, ladies, if you want to understand what's going on with the dad in your family, this is the segment for you. So welcome, Gary, to Mom Talk Radio.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be on.
So, we hear a lot about women, and we make jokes about ourselves that we're hormonal or the hormones are going, but hormones affects dads as well, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's very noticeable with women because their progesterone levels go up and down every month, which obviously influences the menstrual cycle. So they feel it, the effects of hormones, much more than a man. But the truth is men are actually losing testosterone every year from about the age of 24, 25, and they're losing about 1.5%. So it's a very gradual decline over a long period of time, so they don't really notice it. All of a sudden, one day they'll wake up and say, God, you know, I don't have the energy I had. I'm feeling more fatigued. I've been putting on weight. It sneaks up on them where a woman goes pretty strong right up until she's in her, say, mid-40s, and then she starts perimenopause, and then she sees a very drastic change very quickly over a 10-year period.
Well, so we go through menopause, and you say that our dads in our lives, our husbands, go through something called andropause?
Yeah, they do. But, you know, even guys in their 30s and 40s, you know, even younger, they can have issues and problems with free testosterone. They may actually have a very healthy total testosterone level. In fact, if you look at blood work and blood panels for most guys, their total testosterone levels are typically very healthy until they're around 65 years of age. What happens in the body, though, is there's what they call a hormone-binding globulin that increases, and it starts to go very quickly at about the age 30. When that happens, even though the total testosterone levels are at a very high level, they're not able to access the testosterone. It's just not free in the blood, so it can't uptake on the receptor sites. And that's when they start noticing sometimes depression, sometimes just fatigue, or sometimes it's recovery, or they start gaining weight around the waist. The wives have a harder time of getting husbands off the couch and or getting yard work done, and they just don't have the energy that they used to have.
So tell me a little bit about this product M-Drive that you've developed, and how does it work?
Twofold. Number one, we were trying to help guys get back to their prime, so we were trying to increase energy, stamina, and endurance. Number one, but we were trying to do it without the use of caffeine and central nervous stimulators. We were trying to do it by strengthening the adrenal glands, increasing the amount of adenosine, and very specific extracts. We have 7 very specific extracts in there where we standardize each one for a very specific need. And then on top of the energy, stamina, and increasing oxygen in the blood, we targeted increasing free testosterone. And one of the ingredients, the fenugreek seed, the extraction was standardized to include fenesterols. Fenesterols actually work as surfactants in the blood to help free up some testosterone so that a guy can actually access what he has. His body still produces it, regulates it, but he can actually access more so that he can recover faster and feel better.
It doesn't contain anything illegal or anything banned or, like, you know, that he should fear, right?
No, we stayed away from all of that. We stayed away from anything that's banned, actually. Our classic and our elite formulas are our natural formulas. In fact, the M-Drive Elite that we sell now, what happened, we started selling this just to help guys out in their 30s and 40s feel younger and get back to their prime, but we found that there were a lot of athletes that figured out that they can perform better when they do their athletic, their stress and their competition. And then we couldn't ignore all the athletes that were coming to us, and we were like, well, listen, you know, this is really meant for regular guys that just wanted to feel younger and get some of their youth back. But so we decided, you know what, we can up VO2 max and do a few things for endurance athletes as well. And I say this because not only is it legal, but we work with the same laboratories that do the World Anti-Doping Association blood work and testing for athletes. And they actually analyze our product, our M-Drive Elite product, and soon you'll be able to just go to their website and see the analysis by lot number when you pick up a box of the Elite so that athletes know that it's been tested. And it's not just them testing. Obviously, we've always tested the raw materials and we've always tested the finished product, but now we'd use a third party independent that works nothing but with athletes so that they feel comfortable using it.
So if an athlete uses this, is this going to help? Like if you have a guy, maybe he's a runner or a biker, is it going to help his performance at all?
Oh, completely. Yeah, it'll increase his endurance. It's obviously it's rich in adaptogens. Right away, he'll notice his respiration's better. His body will be able to actually hold more larger volume of oxygen. He'll notice right away that he's breathing less heavily, which means he can push himself further. And he'll notice a huge difference in endurance. And what happens once they overcome and they feel stronger from the endurance side, they start raising the bar. They start
right.
going further, longer, or lifting more and recovering better. And then it perpetuates itself. So the more they do, the more they can do. It's pretty amazing. It's fun working, especially with elite athletes, especially like ultra runners where they're doing they're pushing it. They're doing 50 or 100-mile runs, or they're doing marathons. And a lot of the guys we work with, a marathon to them is like a walk to the park. They're doing 2 and 3 and 4 marathons in a row.
Well, I want to make sure that we get this in. You can go to mdriveformen.com and pick up some for your husband if he needs a little energy. And, you know, I'm going to get some for my husband who does races. mdriveformen.com. You can place your order there. And thanks, Gary, so much for joining us. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Ben Foss. He's an entrepreneur and the founder of Headstrong Nation.
Even super moms need a little advice. Here's yours. More of Mom Talk Radio.
You know, timing is everything, and I was delighted to receive a book in the mail just about the time that I learned that my daughter was diagnosed with dyslexia. And since then, I've taken a lot of time to educate myself, but I found one book very useful, The Dyslexia Empowerment Plan. And Ben Foss is here joining us today. He is the writer of the book, the author, and he's been featured in the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, and a whole bunch of other publications. He is co-founder of Integration Ventures, a venture capital firm that is looking to invest in dyslexic entrepreneurs. So welcome, Ben, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thanks a lot. Really glad to be here.
So you're an entrepreneur, and you founded Headstrong Nation, a nonprofit for the dyslexic community. Why the focus on dyslexia? Is it touched your personal life, or?
Yes, I'm dyslexic, which is a great way to get introduced to dyslexia.
Yeah, right.
I was identified when I was a kid. My mom used to read out loud to me, which wasn't a big deal. When I went away to college, I used to fax my term papers home to her in New Hampshire, which is where I grew up, and she'd read them to me over the phone so that I could find my own spelling mistakes. So I've been through the experience, and a lot of what I tried to do in the book you mentioned, the Dyslexia Empowerment Plan, is to tell the story from the perspective of the kid, but then to add in some expert advice, because at one point I was director of access technology at Intel, and I made products for people in this space, and then also I had a law degree, and so I tried to add the tech and the law as a way to help parents have a roadmap, and essentially this is the book to tell you, you know, many books will tell you what dyslexia is, this one tells you what to do.
Yeah, and you know, that's an interesting thing, because there's not a lot of resources out there that tell you what to do. And, you know, I hear you say that you were diagnosed when you were little. I mean, how great is that? Unfortunately, my daughter had to wait till she was in high school. And, oh, my gosh, I feel so bad for, the times that I said to her, well, just sound out the word. Just sound out the word to spell it, you know. You faxed your papers home. She always says to me, Mom, how do you spell this? How do you spell that? And I was like, well, can't you spell it, sound it out? And in reality, she couldn't spell it, sound it out.
No, she couldn't. And I mean, it's one of the great frustrations for me as a kid. I remember people telling me, well, look it up in the dictionary. Well, how do you look it up if you can't spell it? The nature of dyslexia is that it's a challenge associating the shapes and forms on a printed page with the sounds associated with it. And language is originally sound. I mean, that's what language is in our heads, or you know, the ability to communicate. It has only recently been written down. And so it's only within the last 5,000 years that human beings are using printed material, and really in the last 50 years that we expect most people to read in the developed world. And so I like to highlight that there's three kinds of reading. There's eye reading, ear reading, and finger reading. Blind people read with their fingers. They read Braille. Mainstream people read with their eyes. And I use audio. So I use services like Learning Ally in the U.S. as a service, or Bookshare as a service. In the U.K., there's the National Society for the Blind and Dyslexic. They have audiobooks. Great way to learn. Great way to be independent.
So how do you function if you're a mom who is trying to help their child function in the reading world, and there's things like SAT tests and ACT tests, and you know, recently, you know, I said to a Spanish teacher, I don't know how she's going to pass Spanish when she can't even read English, you know, and all Spanish is sounding out words, you know. How do you help your child?
Well, you start by focusing on the most important thing, which is the emotional health of your child. Everyone wants to start you focusing on their spelling or their reading or their writing. Don't worry about that yet. Focus first on how they're feeling, because the thing about dyslexia is that it arrives in a family's life typically just when a kid starts school, and the concrete of a child's personality is still wet at that age. They are still figuring out who they are, how they want to be in the world. And if they leave their house and they arrive in school and everyone starts saying, well, you're stupid, or you're lazy, or you need to leave class and go to the back of the room, that is going to leave a really serious mark. And that mark is called shame. Shame is feeling bad about something you are, as opposed to guilt, which is feeling bad about something you did. Now, I grew up in New Hampshire. I don't feel shame about the fact that I grew up in New Hampshire. I'm just from New Hampshire. It's just a thing, right? Now, if I was from Vermont, maybe. But in general, I think that we need to focus on the emotional health first. Then, once you've integrated this and made it part of you, and many people will use the word diagnosed. I used it for many years. I don't use that word anymore because it makes it sound like it's a disease, like your kid has dyslexia. It's as though you're saying your child has cancer. In fact, what you're saying is my child's from New Hampshire, or my child's from dyslexia. It's just a place they're from, and you need to make it part of who they are. Then you can focus on practical tools. You can get an iPad or an iPhone to read out loud to you, and there's lots of information at headstrongnation.org, free information on my nonprofit's website that you can get information on how to empower your child and give them tools for school.
And we can get the book just about anywhere, right?
It's available to Random House Publications, so it's in, you know, all fine publication places. It's online. Amazon has it. Lots of other online publishers have it.
Well, really great book. I can't wait to finish it. And thank you so much for joining us today. We have a link to headstrongnation.org where you'll find out more about everything that Ben is doing. And don't forget, pick up his book, The Dyslexic Empowerment Plan. When we return, we're going to be joined by Christy Crandall. She is one of the Five Moms, a group of advocates and mothers who work to stop medicine abuse. To be joined today by Christy Crandall. She is one of the Five Moms, a group of advocates and mothers who work with the Stop Medicine Abuse effort to help educate parents and prevent teen cough medicine abuse. She is the author of Lost and Found, A Mother and Son Find Victory Over Teen Drug Addiction, and co-founder of Full Circle Treatment Center. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Christy.
Thanks so much for having me.
So can you tell us what parents need to be worried about when it comes to medicine and teen abuse or child abuse with medicine? Because it's not something I think that's top of mind.
Yeah, so we just want parents to have medicine abuse on their radar, so it's something that they can watch out for. And these are any cough or cold medications that that are over the counter and contain dextromethorphan, and the short word for that, or the short acronym for that, is DXM. And this is the ingredient that teens are looking for in products to get high, and they oftentimes will take, you know, 25 times the recommended dose to do so. So we want parents to know that this is happening. 1 in 20 teens have reported abusing this, and we want them to put it on their radar.
So are they using any kind of cough syrup? I mean, they're looking for this particular ingredient, but is there any particular brand that they has more of it?
No, it's in over 100 different products.
Oh, my gosh.
So, again, we just are trying to educate parents or caregivers of kids to be aware that this is happening, and we want them to know about it. We want them to take steps to safeguard their medicines in their home, and then we want them to share that message, have a conversation with their teens about it, and then share it with other parents.
How much do they have to ingest to get some kind of effect like that?
Well, we know that teens are taking up to 25 times the recommended dose. So, you know, when taken as prescribed or as the directions on the box, you know, it works. This is the ingredient that works to quiet your cough, and it's safe. But unfortunately, you know, teens are taking more than that.
Right, right. And so how do you recommend in your house? Do you lock up those kind of things? How do you manage it in the home?
Yeah, and that's a good question, because it might not be your child that will, you know, look into the medicine cabinet. It might be your child's friends. So, you know, you want to protect and safeguard, you know, the medicines in your home, just, you know, as like you would in your liquor cabinet. You know, you want to pay attention to what's there, and I would recommend, you know, locking it as well. And they have specific safes and locking boxes for that.
And we'll find more information. What kind of information do we find at stopmedicineabuse.org?
Great site for knowing what the symptoms are of abuse of any dextromethorphan or products containing dextromethorphan, what to look for, you know, the empty cold medicine or cough medicine packets in your child's room, how to find help, how to talk to your teen about it. Parents find that difficult, how to even get the conversation started. So great resource for parents at stopmedicineabuse.org.
So we'll have a link to that, and you can follow Christy and the cause on Twitter as well at Stop Med Abuse, and they use the hashtag NotMyTeen, and we're going to put that on Mom Talk Radio as well. Thank you so much, Christy, for joining us today. I want to remind you guys that you can go to momtalkradio.com, where you can find all of our shows there. You can go to iTunes, download our free app, and listen to our show. You can take it with you if you've missed something in the past. Also, tweet me. You can find me at Mom Talk Radio online, and don't forget to go to our sister site. If listening to Mom Talk Radio is not enough, you can always go to momtv.com, where you'll find videos that are made by moms, for moms, produced by moms, and I've got a few there too, so you can look me up as well. I'm Maria Bailey. Hope you have a great week. We're into November, so next week, join me again as we head into the holidays.